Third hour is shaping up like this. Welcome back, or good afternoon, or good morning, wherever you are. Nice to have you here. I'm Jim Rome. We are in the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Last segment of the show belongs to Bucky Brooks, an NFL Network analyst. That's coming up in 35 minutes from right now. So between now and then, we are wide open. 1-800-636-8686. Let's not waste any time with it. Let's get right to our Smackoff profile. I've been doing this every single day as we get closer and closer to the big event, the big showdown. The Smackoff is a week from tomorrow. Smackoff 24, first time ever. It's televised. $5,000 to the winner. 8 days out as part of the countdown to July 20th. We have included player profiles from the field so you know what you're listening to come next Friday. So far, I have featured Mark in Hollywood, Aya Frady, Stevie Carbone, Chael Sonnen, and yesterday, Team Canada, Matt and Van, Tyler in Edmonton. Today, we go to Buffalo, because in the shiny, up-and-coming city of Buffalo resides, arguably, the most dangerous holder of a golden ticket. None other than Rick in Buffalo. Right now, Rick is holding on to a second golden ticket. And it seems to me safely holding on to a second golden ticket, which is not what I could say about his first golden ticket. But no matter what happens between now and the 20th, I think he's going to be just fine. And I say that because he's earned it. Last year, he did get that ticket ripped. This year, he has cemented his invitation with one racked call after another. Some of you call this show all the time. You never get better. Some of you call this show all the time. You actually get worse with reps. Not this guy. He's the rare caller that is getting better and better and better. Now, I can't guarantee that everybody in the field is going to get on the air next Friday. I've made that pretty clear. I can pretty much promise that this guy will. Because he's a guy who's got a shot at winning it. Like, he's kind of like that, I don't know, like that lone wolf. That lone wolf, in every sense of the word. Like, in the sense, he's got no allies. He's got no allies, only enemies. And for a guy who emerged, burst onto the scene back in 2017, his hit list is getting longer and longer and longer. It's already pretty extensive. Ask Dan in Denver. Ask Luke in Fort Collins. Ask John in New York. Ask Josh in Detroit. Ask Rex in the ABQ. Ask them all.
Well, you got to love Dan in Denver. You should expect that kind of trash coming from a guy who throws surprise birthday parties for his cat. Luke in Fort Collins is another one without a friggin' clue. You hack. I want to honor my father by getting a golden ticket routine. You know how you can honor your old man? Stop calling the show and embarrassing yourself. That nobody John in New York. I love how this loser starts every one of his calls, saying the show's so funny, he almost drives his truck right off the road. Hey, John, do us all a favor and finish the job. Your wife will secretly celebrate, and your kids will be a lot better off. Rexy, you'd be wise to take my advice, little man. Instead of calling the show twice a week, scale it back to maybe twice a year. It won't make your calls any better, but it'll remind everyone a lot less often how truly terrible they are. Josh in Detroit, having your support is like finding out the fat chick at work has a thing for you. I'd rather not know about friggin' either. Keep my good name out your damn mouth.
Look, no other way to put it. This guy's savage. He is a savage. Like, no jokes, no one-liners. This cat's just angry, man. He's angry. He's mean, and I like it. He's not looking for the laugh, although he got a few from me. He's not looking for the laugh. He's looking for a kill shot. It's a brand. It's a brand that might get lost in the delivery because of the delivery, right? I mean, don't get it twisted. My man will go for your throat. And he's not just laying waste to the new generation of wannabes. He's not just stomping the no-lifers. He's not just going for the low-hanging fruit. This year, he has taken run after run at Jungle Royalty. and the 2010 Smack-Off champ, Vic in NoCal.
Vic's no longer the Broadway Joe guaranteeing Super Bowl wins. He's the drunken idiot throwing himself all over Susie Culver. Your time as a jungle heavyweight is officially over. Taking a run at Dr. Dave. God, you're a loser. Vic's like the old family dog who you finally got to put down. You feel terrible about it, but when all he's doing is running into walls and peeing on the carpet, there's no other choice. Vic's saying he was every hostess dream. It's host dream, you loser. A hostess dream is what your chubby girlfriend has when she falls asleep every night. Victor wants us all to believe he's been a diehard Warriors fan. Sure you have, Vic. Just like you're making $250K and don't have to pay for female companionship, you scumbag. I heard some nobody in New York call a couple days ago saying I sound like I'm holding someone hostage. Try taking another run at me and I will hold you hostage. Don't believe me? Ask Vic in NoCal. I've been holding that bitch hostage all year.
Dude, this dude, I mean, this rivalry with Vic has been pretty one-sided of late. Of late, but that does not mean that Vic will not have something for Rick next Friday. Because Vic is overdue. And you know he'll be looking to return fire. But no sooner than somebody pulls Rick off of Vic, then he goes in on the two-time champ.
And how nice it was of Les and Laguna to check in after I smoked him out a couple weeks ago. But does it really count as a call if all he did was regurgitate year-old cake on Ice Cube's Big Three League? What's wrong, Les? I know the writer's strike in Southern California, but I do agree with one thing you said. Things definitely come in threes, and your three-year run of Smack-Off gimmicks is over. I know you're gripping right now because you finally realize you're going to have to rely on straight smack to win this year's crown, and we all know how that's going to end in an epic battle with Vic for ninth place. Nice knowing you, champ.
I'm telling you, you can't look. I know you can't hear this dude's voice and not think of the former champ, the former heavyweight champ from Virginia. And a lot of you want to make that point because every time Rick calls in, Twitter floods with comparisons to Jeff from Richmond. And when Jeff from Richmond made his comeback a few months back, a lot of clones said that Rick's Smack-Off stock went right into the tank because the original was back to bury the imposter. Well, Rick heard all that. It worked all of its way back to him, and he had a little something in response.
Let me address the featherweight clones who keep accusing me of stealing Jeff and Richmond's swag. I've sounded this way since I was five, and I've been pulling older chicks ever since. And are you really dumb enough to believe I'd model my game after that broken-down train wreck? You heard that call yesterday. Jeff sounded like he just woke up from a 10-year nap. And then accidentally butt-dialed the show. His timing was off, his material dated, and just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, he shouts out to his boy, Rogan Loam. Nice touch, Jeffrey. Now let me give you the real update on Jeff in Richmond. He traded in those 26-inch pipes for a 52-inch waistline. His mannerly countryside estate went into foreclosure in 2008. And his once trophy wife now resides in my bedroom.
All right, so does Rick sound like Jeff? Of course. Of course. Do I give a damn? Hell no. Their pipes might be similar, but their game could not be more different. I mean, Jeff is about Jeff. Rick is about anybody standing in front of him. And I get that there is a line in the jungle sand and that the old school might not ever get past the fact that these guys do sound alike. But let me tell you this, Rick does not care what anybody else thinks. Like I said, man, this dude's kind of a savage. He's mean. He's angry. He's a lone wolf. And if you're not me or Mrs. Rick in Buffalo, then this dude probably hates your guts and couldn't give a damn what you think. It's his brand. It's him against the world. And on Friday, July 20th, he's fighting the entire world out of Buffalo, New York. And there's not a better representative of a tough, overlooked town, blue-collar town, than a guy who doesn't give a damn about anything or what any of you think. Everything this dude has done and every call this dude has made has led up to next Friday. He may be a rook, but he's not intimidated. and he's getting bigger and stronger and more confident. In 8 days, we will find out how mean the meanest cat in the jungle can get. The field is stacked. Do not sleep on this guy. You know he's going to come out throwing. He's going to go right to the middle of the ring and look to land haymakers. This guy's not going to feel anybody out. This guy's not going to throw a few jabs out there. He's going to run out to the middle of the ring and look to clock somebody. 8 days and counting. I mentioned in the take that this guy's got no allies, only enemies. At GOAT39 tweets, I'm a big ally of Rick in Buffalo. The dude is the truth. Juan from Canada, tweets, another polarizing figure in the jungle. Now, Rick is about as polarizing as it gets. Phil in Dallas tweets, this is good stuff. Best profile by far. Listen, this is why I'm doing the profiles. I don't think you fully understand what these guys have to bring to it or what you're going to be listening to next Friday. This is why I'm running these profiles out there. Yesterday, you were saying best profile to date when I had the two Canadians. Now it's Rick and you're saying best profile to date. These guys are way better than you know. They deserve a lot more credit than they're getting. This is why they get their own profiles. At 4 Foxtrot, Rick in Buffalo is a bulldog. Nasty. That's what 10 months of winter will turn you into. Maybe. Maybe, man. You have to deal with the elements. I think there's something to it. It's a tough, tough town because you need to be tough to survive, much less thrive. This dude's nasty. I said it. He's mean. He's mean. He's nasty. He's angry. He's coming for everybody. What do you think? Does that guy have the game and the chops to win that thing? Does he seem like somebody who's going to finish in the top 10? Does he seem like somebody who's going to hit the board? Or can you see this guy shocking the world and winning the whole thing outright?
Finish the job.
He said, John in New York's the loser who calls the show every day and said he laughed so hard at it that he nearly drove off the road. Hey, John, finish the job. Your wife and your kids will thank you for it. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, he just told another clone to go kill himself. And that the wife and kids would be better for it. Come on, Rick. I mean, I gotta draw the line somewhere. Telling other clones to kill themselves is where I draw the line. And then chasing that by saying, oh, and your wife will be better for it. And so will your kids. This cat's, he's dirty, man. He's filthy. He's nasty. When we come back, Broadway Victor coming back in again. I think that makes 3 times Vic has called since I called out Vic and Mike in Indy. Vic is calling to respond. Must be freaking smack off season. Vic in response when we return. 2018 is flying right on by. And we're having a big year. Arguably the biggest year ever. You want to make sure that you finish as well as you started this year. If you're a contractor or a builder or a remodeler, listen up, because elevating your game for the rest of the year got a whole lot easier thanks to my good friends at Lumber Liquidators. They've got a new LL Pro Plus program. Maybe you've heard me talk about that, maybe not. LL Pro Plus is Lumber Liquidators' new pro services team that you can call on for all your professional flooring needs. LL Pro Plus will help you crush it the rest of this year with professional pricing and dedicated support to get you what you need when you need it. This way you get your projects finished on time. And LL Pro Plus gives you the ultimate value and quality. And with LL Pro Plus, no job is too large, no job is too small. They can help you with anything at all. So put the flooring experts on your team today. Visit your local Lumber Liquidator store or go to lumberliquidators.com. Lumberliquidators.com. Let's continue to make 2018 the best year ever with Lumber Liquidators.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. NFL Network analyst Bucky Brooks also an 8-year NFL vet, joins me in 20 minutes. My thoughts on Pac-Man Jones coming up in a few moments, but let me just skip right to this. Remember a number of days back, several days back, I said, where are Vic and Mike? Mike and Indy, Vic and NoCal. A couple of guys who've won the Smack-Off. I can't find these guys. Where are they? Couldn't find Vic on Twitter. Couldn't find him on the show. Then Vic called. And then Vic called again. I said, great, he's back. The champ's back. Where's Mike? Where's Mike and Indy? I don't know, man. Again, I'm hoping Mike is working some angle. I'm hoping Mike is working some plan. I don't know if Mike is coming a week and a day out. I know Vic will be there because he keeps calling. So I just did a player profile, caller profile, Smack-Off profile on Rick in Buffalo. And he was coming literally for everybody. Like, he wants to fight everybody. But mostly it seems like he wants to fight Vic. Vic is calling again and has his response. We go to it. Victor, what's going on?
Hello. Well, first off, my condolences to you on the Costco Polish hot dog. You know, I lived through a similar tragedy a few years ago back when Costco discontinued what they called their hand-dipped ice cream bars. Those things are freaking delicious, man. Look them up on Google. You'll see what I mean. Anyway, Rome, I find myself in a bit of a dilemma here, as I often do, because, you know, you get these nobodies in the jungle. I call them ankle biters. You know, they start nipping at my heels, tugging on my cape, trying to get my attention, trying to make a name for themselves on my coattails. Because, you see, they're not dumb, okay? They understand what I can do for them. They understand the clout that I carry in this industry. So, you know, my dilemma then is, do I give these guys what they want, or do I just keep ignoring them? Because here's the thing, Rome, and this is going to sound a bit counterintuitive, I know, but when Vic and NoCal smashes somebody's face in on the radio, that is actually good for their look, okay? It raises their cachet that the mighty Vic and NoCal even knows who the hell they are, that I took time to dedicate valuable real estate to them. And make no mistake, clones, this is valuable real estate. I only get a few minutes on the air every year, and there's other things I'd rather talk about. But, like, take Dr. Dave, for example. He's a good example. I mean, I took a clown like Dr. Dave, an absolutely cringeworthy buffoon like Dr. Dave, and I made him a household name on this show, man. And if you're a household name on the Jim Rome Show, then you're a household name in radio, period, okay? I mean, Rome, when you hang this thing up 20 years from now and you look back at the history, the rich tapestry of this show, the multicolored mosaic that was the jungle, Dr. Dave is going to have a little spot up there carved out for himself, and I put him there. It's the Tony Tubbs effect, man. You know, Tony Tubbs is a well-known former boxer. He had a nice little career. But the only reason we all know who he is because we've all been over to YouTube and seen the videos of Mike Tyson lighting him up. It's the same reason most people know Michael Spinks. Which brings me to this meathead idiot from Buffalo who you just profiled, who literally, this idiot stalks me on social media like a loser, Rome. I did a search on Twitter. This dude has tweeted at me 184 different times trying to get me to notice him. What a damn weirdo, man. He comes in with his horrible East Coast takes like, oh, Jim, I think the Bills can go 9-7 this year, maybe sneak into the wild card. Tyrod Taylor. You know, just the kind of garbage you hear on all the other radio shows that aren't the jungle. You know, Jim, me and my boys at the factory, local 138 workers union, we got to punch the clock every day, but these athletes make millions and they're still not happy. Just terrible radio, man. Rick, I'm tired of your stupid calls. I'm tired of your stupid voice. I'm tired of your stupid face polluting my TV screen every time you call, okay? Congrats, man. You got me to mention your name. Now listen up, because I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse, okay? You leave my jungle today, never to come back, and I'm going to let you live, okay? Go into witness protection, turn state's evidence, change your name, whatever you want to do, I won't come after you. But you show your caveman face around this house again in my jungle, and I'm not just going to take you out. Your entire lineage is going to feel it. Dude, even decades from now, your grandkids are going to get bullied at school, man. All the other kids are going to be like, ha-ha, your grandpa is that loser who got destroyed by Broadway Vic. So do the smart thing for once in your life, Rick, okay? Do it for your family, man. You had a little run this year. Now it's over. Pack up your stuff and get the hell out of here. You're done. You're done in this town. You hear me? Done in this town. Tramps like us, babe.
Go ahead and rack the champ. The former champ, Victor's back. Victor is officially back. That's the kind of thing that Victor does when Victor shows up. Didn't I say when I did the player profile that this is a one-sided rivalry right now. Right now. Rick in Buffalo is getting over right now. But Vic will have something to say come Friday. Vic didn't even wait till Friday. That's the type of call that he's making a week out. That's the type of thing you normally hear the day of the smack off. And Vic is coming in with that 1 week out. So you can imagine what my expectations are for next Friday. If you've been listening and you keep hearing me talk about the smack off, but you're not sure what I'm talking about that. That's what I'm talking about. That's a former champ right there trying to get his belt back. Victor in NoCal. Mikey, where are you, Mike, in Indy? Look, the smack off is better with Mike, but it's going to be fine if he doesn't call. Mike, make the call. Make the call. You don't need an RSVP. I want to know that you're going to be there a week out. I know Vic's going to be there. I know Rick in Buffalo is going to be there. I know the boys in Canada are going to be there. I know Chael Sonnen's going to be there. I know the two-time champ, Lev's going to be there. We have not heard from him lately. Stevie Carbone, I hope he's going to be there. This is going to be a day now, and it's the first time ever it's on TV. Man, it's getting angry and vitriolic. That's Vic. Vic has lost nothing. That's Vic at his best. And I think he's got another gear still yet. Vic can get even dirtier than that. Who do you think got the better of that exchange? The Profile or Vic? Threatening not just Rick, but the entire lineage belonging to Rick. 1-800. Man, can we do this thing tomorrow? One more week. Alex in the 207, first one through. Vic in freaking NoCal. Legend is back. This is what I'm saying. This guy was gone for a bit. Kicked off Twitter allegedly, although I see that he reemerged there too. That's the Vic in NoCal that I know. That's the Vic that used to strike fear into the hearts of others. That's the Vic that won the thing. You know, Rick's whole point was, old man, you got nothing. What'd he say? You're like that old stumbling drunk hitting on Susie Colbert. And not you're the family dog bouncing off the sliding glass doors that needs to be put down, urinating on the rug. Not the guy that I just heard. That said, Rick in Buffalo is going to land. He's coming in here Friday to throw haymakers, and I guarantee he will connect. Chris in the LBC tweets, Vic just bodied Rick in Buffalo. Savage. Yeah, man, that's a fierce beef right now. I'm not hyping anything up. That is a fierce beef right now. Anybody else want some? Where are you a week from tomorrow? Where are you listening? Did you get time off? Are you setting it up the right way? All of a sudden now, it's really setting up as something potentially devastating and awesome both. Bucky Brooks coming up in a few moments. Guys are rushing in with reaction. Rome, Vic is back. R.I.P. Rick. Now he's done. Damasio in Albuquerque.
Now I'm done.
I'm not going to say he's done, but I am going to say Vic is back. Vic is definitely back after that phone call.
Ha ha, your grandpa is that loser who got destroyed by Broadway Vic.
Rome, wow, Vic, save something for the smack off, dude. That was vicious, and I loved it. Mike R. in Toronto. Listen, the thing about Vic, he's a vet. He's a vet. He did not burn everything on that call. He doesn't make that call unless he knows he shows up a certain way next Friday. He didn't get hooked and had to respond. He's been gone for a while. He stayed down for a while. He knows what he's doing. He'll have something. When we come back, Bucky Brooks. Stay tuned for that. I'm still looking for your reaction to what you just heard. Rick is not dead, but Vic is back. Here is your latest sports update. We'll talk some NFL with NFL Network analyst Bucky Brooks momentarily. If you want maximum performance from your car, you could use an Edge, Castrol Edge. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium technology is 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown as tested in the Kurt Orban test. In the 5W30 Viz grade, it helps to fight friction. It delivers outstanding performances. Castrol Edge, the titanium strong motor oil. Jungle still kind of reverberating after Vic in NoCal comes back. He's not dead. In fact, he sounds about as good as he has in recent years. We'll see how he shows up a week from tomorrow. The smack off. It is not too late to be a part of the proceedings. Not too late to rip a golden ticket and get in. As promised, we're joined right now by an NFL Network analyst. 12-year career in the National Football League, also as a player and a scout. You can follow him on Twitter at Bucky Brooks. He is the host of the Move the Sticks podcast, along with Daniel Jeremiah. We are joined by Bucky Brooks. Bucky, it's great to have you back. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to have you. So you've been watching and tweeting about flag football in the American Flag Football League. Let me start right there. What do you make of what you've seen from an excitement standpoint?
I mean, I think it's a good game. I think much like the Big Three has been a resource for some players to go to after their playing days are done. I think flag football could be a nice alternative for guys when the playing days are done. You're still in a competitive environment. There's still some level of strategy and athleticism and excitement to seeing pro players run around. I think it could be a nice option for players when the NFL days and maybe even their CFL days are done.
You know, I think there's something to that. And then also just this whole overall notion of safety. I've talked to a number of guys and former players over the years who've said that there is no need to play tackle football as early as some kids start. Where do you come out on that? Is flag football a better idea for kids than tackle football?
You know, Jim, it's tough for me because I was a guy that played tackle football from the time I was 7 years old. So from 7 to 28, all I knew was tackle football. However, I had my own kid, my son, he played flag football coming up, and I talked to a bunch of pros and said, like, honestly, when you really think about it, unless your son or your kid is destined to be an offensive or defensive lineman, you can get a lot of the same benefits from playing flag. Being on the perimeter, moving around, the movement skills, catching the ball, throwing the ball, running the ball, all those skills you can learn in flag football. At some point, if you think your kid is going to play high school football, you can transition them to tackle or contact football maybe around eighth grade, just so they can kind of get used to tackling and bumping in the bodies. But in terms of the other stuff, I don't know why you would necessarily need to put your kid in tackle football before they get to eighth grade. Flag football can serve a lot of needs without all the risks that are associated with playing contact football.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. Bucky Brooks joining us. Now, there were some legendary NFL players who got involved with this, guys like Willie McGinnis, Chris Claiborne, your old teammate Napoleon Kaufman. Who else was there, and what's it like when you guys get together?
You know, it's crazy. When we're at the opening and we have an opportunity to deal with all these top high school kids, it is really a remarkable experience because we not only get a chance to share our knowledge and wisdom, we get some of the pros to come back. Todd Gurley, Rob Gronkowski, DeMarcus Ware. Some of those guys also share information with the high school guys. But really, it's a chance to see the next generation in action. These guys that we see at these events, they're going to be the guys that we talk about in 3 or 4 years. So to be around them, to get around them kind of at the base level, to be maybe mentors to those guys, is really an invaluable experience. It's one that I'm really happy to be a part of. It's a great thing that Nike does. It's a great thing that Student Sports, who kind of runs it behind the scenes, also do. It's a terrific opportunity for us to get involved and get back.
Bucky Brooks joining us, an analyst for NFL Network. So, Bucky, what about the kids? I mean, how would you compare the caliber of high school players now as compared to when you played in high school?
Bigger, faster, stronger.
Mm-hmm.
They have all the advantages because now they're training all the time. They have the opportunity to get with coaches and work individually on their games. I can't tell you how advanced my game and some of the older guys' games would have been if we had the opportunity to go to these camps, to be coached, to have access to some of the resources that they have available now. If you want to be a really good player in this day and time, there is nothing that is keeping you from being that player if you're willing to put in the time and the work.
Bucky Brooks joining us. All right, shifting to the NFL now. The buzz is starting to build again for the Texans and Deshaun Watson. Listen, what are you looking to see from Watson early on to let you know whether or not he's back to being the guy he was prior to getting injured?
You know, the main thing, I think everyone is worried about the injury. I just want to see how he advances and progresses and deals with some of the changes that he'll face from defensive coordinators that are a little more familiar with his game. The Houston Texans kind of took the league by a storm when they put him in the lineup because they ran an offense that was radically different from the offense that they had been running prior to. They ran basically an offense that looked like a college offense a lot of read option stuff, a lot of RPOs, a lot of deception and misdirection. Well, now that that is on tape, how does Deshaun Watson deal with some of the adjustments that defensive coordinators make for him and for that offense? How he handles the changes will let us know how good he could be as an NFL quarterback, because if he quickly makes the adjustments to the adjustments that have been made against him, he has an opportunity to be an elite-level quarterback. I think he's going to make those adjustments. We'll just see how long it takes him to kind of figure it out.
NFL Network analyst Bucky Brooks joining us once again. Bucky, in the wake of the latest involving Jameis Winston, you made the point recently that either we're going to see him step up and mature and see the best of him, or he's going to wash out completely. If you had to guess, which scenario is more likely?
I think he'll step up. I think he's a competitor. I think if you look at his history at Florida State and even in Tampa Bay, he has always performed better when he had stuff hanging over his head. The stuff that he had to deal with at Florida State, his final season, he still continued to play at a high level. I think he will be able to handle the pressure that goes with it. But make no mistake, it's a make-or-break year for Jameis Winston down in Tampa. He is on the hot seat, but he's on the hot seat because his head coach and the general manager are also on the hot seat. I think for all three of them to return, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have to make the playoffs. And it's going to be hard because they potentially could be in a three-game hole. But Jameis Winston is going to have to dig his franchise out of this hole to continue to be the franchise quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
All right, so purely from an on-field standpoint, when you see some of the choices or decisions that he makes with the ball, what do you make of the progress that he's made over the course of his career?
You know, the funny thing, Jim, the off-the-field stuff is kind of clouding the progress that he's made on the field. On the field, he's coming off career highs in completion percentage. Interception rating is low. Passing yards are up. All of those things are really, really good when you looked at the stuff on tape. He still makes some bonehead decisions. He's still going to turn over the ball. But that's who he is. And for some quarterbacks, they're going to do it. He has to become a guy that displays better composure and better poise on the field. He's a natural leader. He's competitive. He has the NFL arm and all that. It's about his poise, his ability to kind of quiet his mind and play at a high level. If he does that, he could be a guy that is ultimately a top five, top 10 quarterback. He has to kind of find a way to have that poise and play with it 60 minutes a game.
Bucky Brooks, my guest, for a few more moments. Bucky, things got a little interesting on Twitter today when Chargers DB Casey Hayward responded to a tweet from the NFL Network saying, quote, "Don't listen to Bucky. He just be talking," end quote. What did you think when you saw that?
At first, I didn't know what it was coming from, but then I went down and I led the thread. Last year, I wrote a piece about system players and star players. And in star players, we talk about transcendent stars, guys that you can put in any system and they'll be able to succeed. So you think about a guy like a Von Miller who can play in any system. You think about a player like a Patrick Peterson, a cornerback who can play in any system because he can play press, he can play off. I included Casey Hayward on that list as a system player because he's a guy that plays in a scheme that allows him to play off. He bails, he looks at the quarterback. He clues, he reads plays, he jumps, he gets his hands on a ton of balls because he has great read and reaction skills. He took offense to that, I guess, by saying that I downgraded his game. But the funny thing is, I talked to a bunch of coaches that have coached Casey, not only in L.A. and San Diego, but also in Green Bay. And they said, in the system that he's currently in, he's built for it. It's a perfect system for him to play. So he's mad at me, but I'm just a messenger delivering the message that coaches told me about his game.
Bucky Brooks joining us. All right, then. You know, I had Jarvis Landry on the show recently. He was talking about Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield. And I've said for a while, I just don't think that Taylor gets nearly the respect that he deserves. So when you heard that there was a gap between Taylor and Mayfield in the quarterback competition, did that surprise you at all?
Not surprised at all. I feel like Tyrod Taylor has been really overlooked for whatever reason the last 3 or 4 years. When you look at his touchdown to interception ratio since 2015, he ranks only behind Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he has the fewest giveaways of any quarterback in the National Football League. When I talk to the coaches, they say the turnover battle is the biggest deciding factor in winning games. Well, this guy doesn't turn it over. He finds a way to get his team into the end zone. Those are all the things that you want. So when I saw the competition coming up between Baker Mayfield and Tyrod Taylor, I believe that he was a pro. He was going to do things the right way. He was going to get the ball to the playmakers. That offense was going to run differently with him at the helm compared to Baker. I am not surprised that he is in the lead for this quarterback competition. I've always believed that he is a starter. He is a top 15 quarterback. At some point, people will recognize his talent. maybe he'll get an opportunity to show people in Cleveland.
Right, and he's never had weapons like this around him. All right, so last thing before you go, Bucky, it's summertime, so that means that Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers are talking about a contract. The report has been that Bell is looking to be paid like a number one running back and a number two wide receiver. When you look at his numbers and you look at his production, does that feel like an unfair request, or does that sound about right to you?
I mean, it sounds about right based on what the production is. The problem that he's going to fall into, the top running backs don't make nearly the money that he's making right now in the franchise tag. He's making about $14.5 million. I think Devontae Freeman comes in maybe a little under $9 million. That's a huge gap, a huge disparity between where the top running backs are and where he is. And then when you add in not the age but the injury history and the suspension factor, it is hard to justify paying Le'Veon Bell $14, $15 million at the running back position. I love him. I love his game. But if we talk about from a business standpoint, it's hard to commit that much money to Le'Veon Bell. I believe he's best served to play on the franchise tag this year like he played last year and hope, just hope, that the Pittsburgh Steelers extend the franchise tag another year. I don't believe on the open market he gets a deal that pays him nearly as much as what he's expecting as a franchise player.
So how do you think that plays out, and how do you think he'll respond to it?
You know, I think he's going to do what he did last year. I think he'll show up a week before the regular season starts so he doesn't get fined. He'll come in and play. He'll play well. And then they'll have to figure out what they want to do with Le'Veon Bell next offseason. I believe the Steelers made a bit of a mistake because they should have drafted a top running back this year so he could serve as an apprentice for a year before they give him the job and allow Le'Veon Bell to walk on. I don't believe Le'Veon Bell will be a Pittsburgh Steeler in 2019.
You can follow him on Twitter at Bucky Brooks. He's an NFL Network analyst. He's also the host of Move the Sticks podcast along with Daniel Jeremiah. Bucky, it's so good to have you back. Appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, Jim.
Great job. Bucky, thank you very much. Always look forward to talking to you. And Daniel Jeremiah both. They have an excellent podcast, which I listen to all the time. All right, coming to an end of another program, which means tomorrow is officially the week from the Smack Off. Again, did not get to everything that I wanted to get to today. I want to talk about Pac-Man Jones. I want to reset Ep 43 of the Jim Rohn podcast, which was Jim Abbott. You want to make sure you find that. Premium content. It is not the same as this show. It's a different show altogether. So look for that. Bucky Brooks came in. We had Mark Stein. Already did it, Alvin. Jonathan Isaac. Yes, I did. Oh, dude, okay. You don't need to snap at me. Well, let's just do the... Alvin and I were having a conversation off air, but it was on air. And anyway, go ahead and roll it.
Which brings me to this meathead idiot from Buffalo who you just profiled, who literally... This idiot stalks me on social media like a loser, Rome. I did a search on Twitter. This dude has tweeted at me 184 different times trying to get me to notice him. What a damn weirdo, man. He comes in with his horrible East Coast takes like, oh, Jim, I think the Bills can go 9-7 this year, maybe sneak into the wild card. Tyrod Taylor. You know, just the kind of garbage you hear on all the other radio shows that aren't the jungle.
You know, Jim, me and my boys at the factory, local 138 workers union, we got to punch the clock every day, but these athletes make millions and they're still not happy.
Just terrible radio, man. Rick, I'm tired of your stupid calls. I'm tired of your stupid voice. I'm tired of your stupid face polluting my TV screen every time you call, okay? Congrats, man. You got me to mention your name. Now listen up, because I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse, okay? You leave my jungle today, never to come back. And I'm going to let you live, okay? Go into witness protection, turn state's evidence, change your name, whatever you want to do, I won't come after you. But you show your caveman face around this house again in my jungle, and I'm not just going to take you out. Your entire lineage is going to feel it. Dude, even decades from now, your grandkids are going to get bullied at school, man. All the other kids are going to be like, ha-ha, your grandpa is that loser who got destroyed by Broadway Vic. So do the smart thing for once in your life, Rick, okay? Do it for your family, man. You had a little run this year. Now it's over. Pack up your stuff and get the hell out of here. You're done. You're done in this town. You hear me? Done in this town.
Boom.
Hey.
Out of here.
We'll find out. Rick in Buffalo. I would not say RIP to him. He'll be back, but it's official. Broadway Vic is back, and we will see him. Already a number of you are starting on Twitter with, great, Rome. There's no way his smack-off call is as good as that call. We'll find out week from Friday. Thanks to Jonathan Isaac, Mark Stein, Bucky Brooks, The XR4TI, you clones. Let's finish strong tomorrow. See you then.